brought to you by Penguin. Sad Little Men by Richard Beard, read by John Sackville. These people had the air of settling something. They either just had arranged, or soon would, rearrange England. Yet the gateposts, the roads, he had noticed them on the way up, were in bad repair, and the timber wasn't kept properly, the windows stuck, the boards creaked. He was less impressed than he had expected. E. M. Forster, Morris. This book is a work of non-fiction based on the experiences and recollections of the author. In some cases, names of people have been changed to protect their privacy. Prologue. Schools are not what they were in my day. Boys are no longer cruel to each other, and the masters are friends. Geoffrey Willans, How to Be Top, 1954. I had a feeling I couldn't immediately place. I wanted to go out, but wasn't allowed, except in strict measures of time. Shelves were emptying at the nearest supermarket, and instead of fresh fruit and vegetables, I was eating British comfort food, sausages and mash, pie and beans. My freedom to make decisions like an adult was limited. I had homework I didn't want to do, a novel not going well, and I was lonely. I wondered when I'd see my mum again. March 2020, first week of the first lockdown. I was 53 years old and felt like I was back at boarding school. Which wouldn't have mattered but for the fact that at a time of national crisis, my generation of boarding school boys found themselves in charge. I know how two of the last three British prime ministers were treated as children and the kind of men their schools wanted to make of them. My first night at Pinewood School was 2 days after my 8th birthday, in January 1975. A term earlier, David Cameron had left his family home for Heatherdown School in Berkshire, while also in 1975, at the age of 11, Alexander Johnson was sent to board at Ashdown House in Sussex. The exact school picked out by the parents didn't really matter, because the experience was designed to produce a shared mindset. And about our COVID Prime Minister in particular, I feel as Thomas Mann did about the leader of his country in the early 1930s. Whether I liked it or not, he was a brother, a rather unpleasant and mortifying brother. He makes me nervous. The relationship is painful to a degree, but I will not disclaim it. At the age of 13, after the preparation of the prep school, Cameron and Johnson progressed to Eton. I went on to Radley College near Oxford. I'm therefore a little out of bounds, without permission, but I'm old enough to risk that now and accept the consequences. Our parents were paying for a similar upbringing with a similar intended result, to establish our credentials for the top jobs in the country. In 1840, the founder of Radley, William Sewell, had dreamed of building a Winchester and Eton, and something more than Winchester or Eton. Presumably not to emulate the brutality. In 1825, an Eton boy died after a fight lasting 2.5 hours, but for the prime ministers. Between 1721 and 1900, of the 32 British prime ministers, 28 had been educated at English boys' boarding schools. We followed a pattern. As small children, we were sent away to school, and in the summer went on family holidays to Cornwall, because that was who we were, or who we wanted to be. The tribal nature of the education was part of its appeal, and when, in 1923, George Bernard Shaw advocated raising the public schools and sowing their foundations with salt, he meant the usual suspects, Eton, Harrow and Winchester, but also their cheaper and more pernicious imitators. In its defence, I don't believe Radley College was more pernicious, nor in fact very much cheaper. But Shaw was right to see that this was
Sample complete. Ready to continue?